Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Do you have an adjustment disorder and don't know it? Adjustment disorders are basically having excessive reactions to some stress or stressors in your life that result in overly strong emotions, increased negative thinking, and some sort of change in your behavior. The key is that the reaction to the event is way more intense than would typically be expected. So as you might imagine, this can cause a lot of problems in your relationships, work, school, everywhere. So today I'll teach you what adjustment disorders are, the signs you might have one, and how to treat them, including an amazing free tool you can download, because you know I love you. So stay tuned.
I'm Dr. Abby Metcalf, and I'm a practicing psychologist, number one Amazon best-selling author, TEDx speaker, and all-around relationship maven with over 35 years of experience helping people just like you. Join me as I teach you actionable tips and strategies to create connection, joy, and ease in all your relationships. So let's get to it.
Welcome back to the podcast. I am so happy you're here. And I want to give a little shout out today to Nicole, who wrote in and said, "Hi, Abby." This might have been a DM, so I apologize, but I think it was an email. And she said, "Hi, Abby, do you have podcast episodes that touch on adjustment disorders? I didn't even know what they were until today, and I think I might have one. I really appreciate your explanations of things, and I'd love to hear more about adjustment disorders from you." So I, you know, again, just a little put out there that I get, I think, my best ideas for the podcast from you. I want to hear from you. What do you want to know about, hear about, learn about? And I always appreciate if you can go back first and see if I've done an episode on it before. And so you can search for keywords on my website or on wherever you download me, you know, be that YouTube. If you're there right now, you're seeing my adorable cute sweater. And if you are, please like and subscribe. If you're there on YouTube, leave a little comment. I love hearing from you. You can leave your questions right there on YouTube. Make it really easy. But I really want to hear from you. You know, we have a relationship, you and I, and I love you. I love being here with you. And I want to make sure I'm helping. Otherwise, what am I doing? So you can DM me on social media. Although I will tell you, I'm a little slower to get back to those. It's really best to either comment under a video or email me at abby@abbymetcalf.com. So, you know, send them in. So thanks, Nicole, for this one. I thought, oh, I've actually never covered this. How great. And I want to give a warning before we start. And I give this warning whenever I do something where I'm talking about a disorder specifically, like bipolar disorder or borderline or something else. I want to say very clearly that you should not diagnose yourself. If at all possible, do not do that. If you have access to mental health care, you should absolutely go see a professional and not rely on me or Google or anything else. And I say this because so many mental health issues look like so many other mental health issues, if you don't know what you're doing. We all go to school and we get tons of training for a reason. I know you think your Google degree is going to get you there. It's not. And again, even hearing me, wonderful me, and I'm going to give you all the nitty-gritty today, it's still not a seasoned mental health professional who really can really know what you have. And one of the most important parts of my job as a psychologist is something called differential diagnosis. And basically, this is the, and this is true for medical doctors also, this is the process of differentiating between two or more conditions which have very similar signs or symptoms. And it's very hard to do, which is why people get misdiagnosed, even by professionals. I can't tell you how many people have come to my office with something like, I had this recently, someone was having a very, what I considered a normal bereavement process after the death of a someone they loved, their mom had died. And I thought they were having a very normal bereavement process for their culture, I will say that, and for their background, and their background with their mom. And they were misdiagnosed themselves, other people, you know, friends, family with severe depression. She came to me saying she had bipolar disorder, or, you know, sometimes it's anxiety, and she's not bipolar, you know, that was not her problem. So I really, please, you know, having said all that, I do understand that many of my listeners and readers and watchers either don't have access to good mental health care, or for whatever reason, money or where you live in the world, or maybe you just want to understand your own suffering better. You know, my listeners, my consumers are smart. You know, I never talk down to you. I never dumb down the language. I always give you the research because I know that's what you want and I know that's how you need to learn. And or maybe you just want more information to bring to your own healthcare professional. Maybe you just want to learn more so that you're not, you know, you have some more understanding and maybe you can talk to them a little differently. So that's what today is all about. So let's get to it. What is an adjustment disorder? Adjustment disorders are basically, as I mentioned, having excessive reactions to some stress in your life that result in overly strong emotions, okay? So something that's, and then you have some sort of change in your behavior. The key is that the reaction to this event is way more intense than would typically be expected in general or review. So as you might imagine, whatever that is can cause a lot of problems in your relationships, work, school, you know, wherever. So I want to say first that, you know, we all go through stressful events in our lives. Of course we do. We, you know, getting fired, divorced, death of a loved one, a big move. But with an adjustment disorder, you don't, that's the point of, that's the name. You don't adjust back to normal quickly. You know, maybe in a week or two. That's not, you know, that you don't adjust back. So I'm going to get very nitty gritty with you now because this isn't some 30-second soundbite. If you really want to understand adjustment disorders and think about whether this is you or not, you need to spend a minute with me learning and understanding how we diagnose. So I hear people sometimes, you're like, get to the point. This is the point. We're so used to a 30-second reel on something or a YouTube short on something that's 2 seconds, and you don't get good information that way. I don't know how else to say that to you with all the love in my heart. You cannot put mental health conditions down to that. So if you're here for that, I'm not for you. I will tell you that right now. And there's no need to leave a negative comment. And by the way, if you like things, tell me. It's very nice to read your positive comments. I do read them and I enjoy them immensely. Okay. So I've mentioned before on the podcast that we mental health professionals use something called the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders to diagnose mental health conditions. Currently, this book is in its 5th edition. It was updated in 2022 with some text revisions. So it's now called the DSM-5-TR, I think. I do. Hold on one second. If you're watching on YouTube, I have my old, this is the DSM-5 I'm holding up. It's this big ass book. I don't know what to say. And I have my text revision. I have the text revision one, I'm thinking at home, because I was actually looking for it recently. So it must be at home. But on a, you know, I've learned the differences. But anyway, so there's a section of the DSM-5 TR called trauma and stressor related disorders, which says that these types of disorders happen after an exposure to a traumatic or stressful event. And there are five disorders listed in that chapter. Okay. And though they include, there's a reactive attachment disorder, there's disinhibited social engagement disorder, post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD, which is probably the only one of these you've heard of, acute stress disorder, and adjustment disorders. That's the fifth one. So right away, you can see that it might be easy to confuse adjustment disorders with other problems, hence us going deep for this moment and you sticking with me. So just within trauma disorders, there's all these, okay? So just to be clear that we have to differentially diagnose in between. But it's not, you know, when you just come present to us, we also have to differentially diagnosed between a bunch of other things that could be there, which I'll talk about later. So there are what we call diagnostic criteria that have to be met for a mental health professional to diagnose you with anything. And in this case, with an adjustment disorder. So with adjustment disorders, you need this. You need, one, the development of emotional or behavioral symptoms in response to an identifiable stressor occurring within 3 months of the onset of that stressor. So let's talk about that for 1 second. So it means that you got divorced, someone died, you got fired or laid off. Do you see where I'm going here? And within 3 months, you start, so it could be right away, or it could be, you know, it could have been delayed a little bit. You start to develop these more severe symptoms. Okay. You're again, like kind of overreacting or having outsized responses to what happened. Does that make sense? So you have to have that first. It has to be within 3 months. And these symptoms or behaviors are clinically significant, meaning that we think they're important, as evidenced by one or more of the following. Okay, so you have to have the 3 month thing, and then it has to be one of these, one or more of these. Marked distress that is out of proportion to the severity or intensity of the stressor. Okay, so that's the outsized response to whatever the stressor was. Okay, taking into account the external context and the cultural factors that might influence symptom severity and presentation. So again, if you come from a culture where, I don't know, throwing yourself on a dead person or a coffin or something, or yelling and screaming or crying hysterically, something is usual, then just because you, let's say, now live in the United States or somewhere where that's not usual, and here in the United States, that can be usual too. I don't mean to say it's not. But you know what I'm saying? It doesn't fall in this category. It might seem like an outsized response to some. And that, by the way, is what happened with the client I just mentioned, where she's from originally. Her reactions were more usual, and what she saw growing up, and that's the reaction she was having. But here in the United States, people were freaking out, and she was freaking out, thinking that she was doing it wrong. Do you know what I'm saying? So you have to take in the cultural factors or those kinds of things. We also have to see, or we might see significant impairment in social, occupational, meaning work, or other important areas of functioning. The stress-related disturbance does not meet the criteria. So you don't meet the criteria for another mental health disorder. So let's say you already have extreme depression and someone died. You don't necessarily have an adjustment disorder after that. You might have an exacerbation or a worsening of a pre-existing mental health condition like your severe depression. Does that make sense? The symptoms do not represent normal bereavement, which I already talked about. Once the stressor or its consequences has terminated, so the divorce is over or whatever, or the your loved one has died, the symptoms don't last more than 6 months, an additional 6 months. Okay. So the symptoms might not come on for a month, but it's not lasting more than 6 months after the initial death or whatever it was. Okay. So you got to have one or more of all of those in addition to the onset within 3 months. Does that make sense? I hope it does. And all this will be in the, you know, I always have a corresponding blog post to all of the episodes I do. So you can watch them on YouTube, or, you know, you can listen to me wherever you download podcasts. Or if you want to get notes later, or like, what did she say? What are the symptoms? Just go over to my Relationship Tips and Tools tab on my website. And right there, you can see everything I'm saying. I try to be very thorough in the blog post. Okay, so there you go with what the criteria are. And then, okay, so, you know, I'm looking in this big book, I find the trauma, you know, section, and then within that, you know, of those five types of PTSD or whatever, you know, we say, oh, it's an adjustment disorder. And then within the adjustment disorders, there are six adjustment disorders listed in the DSM, okay? See, my job is harder than you think. I know everyone thinks psychology is like a soft science, you know, and whatever. It's not. There's very clear things that I will tell you that over time, you know, I have 39 years of experience now. That's a lot of experience in all kinds of different settings. So I'm going to be better at differentially diagnosing and getting the right diagnosis than someone else, someone with a year of experience, right? Or none or no degree, and you know, you're just looking on Google. That's what I'm trying to say. And I say with all love in my heart, you can be very smart. It's not about how smart you are. It's about over time, you get kind of a spidey sense about things. Over time, you've seen the same thing over and over and over, and you realize, oh, when I see that constellation of symptoms, it doesn't equal this, it equals that. And that only comes with a lot of experience and usually a lot of broad experience. And even with all that, it's not like I've never missed a diagnosis or misdiagnosed someone. Of course, it's impossible not to. Do you see what I'm saying here? That's why I'm asking that you please get real help. But okay, so there are six adjustment disorders listed in the DSM. And the first, these include, how we write it, we'd say an adjustment disorder. And then we would say, if this applies, with depressed mood. So if your adjustment disorder shows up as a really low mood, a lot of tearfulness, crying for no reason, feelings of hopelessness, if those are predominant, we would call it adjustment disorder with low mood. Does that make sense? I hope it does. With depressed mood. Sorry. Or with adjustment disorder with anxiety. That's the second type. If yours shows up with a lot of nervousness, worry, jitteriness, separation anxiety, if that's predominant, okay? The third one would be adjustment disorders with mixed anxiety and depressed mood, okay? Where we get a little combo. And that's a combination of those symptoms of depression and anxiety, again, being predominant. The fourth one is, we would say, an adjustment disorder with disturbance of conduct. And disturbance of conducts, that's where that's predominant, where maybe you are being very impulsive. You're lashing out at people all of a sudden. You've screamed and yelled at your instructor in class. You know, you've lost it on your boss. There's some sort of disturbance in how you conduct yourself. Sometimes that's sexually acting out. Sometimes that could be using drugs and alcohol, and like suddenly you're trying heroin or something, or you know, trying or drinking way more than you usually do. There's a disturbance of conduct. Does that make sense? Okay. And then the fifth is with mixed disturbance of emotions and conduct. So that's all of them. You might have, both emotional symptoms like depression and anxiety, or one or the other, and a disturbance of conduct, again, are prominent, okay, are the dominant things we're looking at. And then the sixth one is something we always have, which is unspecified. We always have like a little trap door. And the sixth one would be adjustment disorders unspecified, which means that there's maladaptive reactions that are not really classifiable as one of the specific subtypes of adjustment disorder, but again, it seems to be adjustment disorder. And you can see how that is someone who's, if you're saying unspecified, you're someone who has a lot of experience who's really looking at this very closely. Okay? All right. I know that's a lot, and I know it's very clinical, but that's what we do here. You are smart. You can do this, so that's why we're doing it this way. All right. What are symptoms of adjustment disorders? So that's going to be your next question, right? What are the symptoms of adjustment disorders? Remember that, so symptoms of an adjustment disorder, again, they start within 3 months of the stressful event. That's key. And the symptoms you have, of course, are going to depend on which of the six types of adjustment disorders you might have. So it can be very different for different people. Is that, you know, obviously, I just said, oh, if you have depression, if you have anxiety, if you have, you know, conduct, like these are all, these show up very differently. So the common...
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Factor is that you experience more stress than would generally be expected. You're again in response to whatever the stressor was. You're having an outsized reaction to whatever the initial stressor was, and it's within 3 months. Okay. So some examples, I've already said them, but feel impulsive behavior, feeling sad, hopeless, or sometimes it's really not enjoying things you used to love. You know, I call it a case of the mez, like it's like, meh. You know, maybe you used to love to play piano. Maybe usually playing with your pet gave you so much great feeling, and suddenly those things are gone. Okay. Crying often or for quote unquote no reason, like you'll just suddenly burst into tears somewhere when, you know, the waiter at your restaurant says there's no, you know, rolls. They don't have your favorite rolls, you know, and you're suddenly crying hysterically. That could be that. Feeling nervous, tense, anxious, worrying, or stressed out, like a lot. Feeling irritable or like you can't handle anything. It just, everything seems so hard. Having trouble sleeping is a common one. Loss of appetite, difficulty concentrating, or again, like you have trouble focusing. You have trouble figuring out even how to help yourself. You're just, it's, everything's too hard. You know, trouble getting through your day and the things you have to do. So that might be, you know, not being able to work or go to school or sitting there and not taking notes or something in class, not paying your bills, not cleaning up your breakfast dishes, your personal hygiene might be affected. But for example, all of those are signs of depression also. So again, you know, we're looking for the different kinds of things. Did something just happen and you're having this response? That's different, and how we treat it might be different than, you know, if you've had a history of severe depression, okay? So I'll be clear, okay. Withdrawing from family or friends, isolating in some ways. And a biggie that does come up, which is horrifying, is thinking about suicide or acting on those thoughts. And that's probably the thing that worries me the most, because you're having outsized reactions, because this is not normal. You might, you know, you might get a divorce and suddenly think of killing yourself. And sadly, because people are having these oversized reactions, this is the biggest risk factor, that you'll actually follow through, because it's way more than is quote unquote normal for this, right? Do you see that? And you might act on that. And that's really scary. I know. Sit with that for a minute. Another thing to keep in mind is that your symptoms don't last longer than 6 months after the stressful event, as I said, okay? So onset is within 3 months and they don't last longer than 6 months. So that's right there a great way to tell if, you know, it's a year after your mom died and you cannot pull yourself out of a depression, guess what? You got something else going on, right? And your mom maybe was the triggering event for that or exacerbated a condition you already have. Although I will say, let me say this, I'm going to sound like I'm contradicting myself. So, but this is psychology and this is why it's good to be trained. You could have a lasting adjustment disorder for more than 6 months if the stressful event is ongoing. And this happens sometimes. So maybe, you know, you lost your job 6 months ago or 8 months ago, but you still can't find another job. Guess what? That could last a little longer. I had something maybe six months ago, where I had a client who was getting divorced. Her partner cheated and they decided to divorce. It was really bad, but they couldn't afford to physically separate yet. So they were living in the same house and it was very, very tense and horrible. And so my client felt triggered over and over by her partner's infidelity. And anyway, it was bad. And this client continued with this. So do you see what I mean? Like it could be something, God forbid you had, and this happens with teens and kids, maybe a grandfather fondled a granddaughter, let's say, but the grandfather's still around. So obviously this would create other problems, right? And because it's ongoing. Okay. What are the causes or triggers for adjustment disorder? What are the causes or triggers for adjustment disorder? That's, you know, I'm trying to answer every question you might be having. And like I said, everyone reacts a different way to stressors in their lives. We all have, again, different temperaments that we're born with, different learned emotional behaviors, and our genetics play a factor. So the death of your mom might throw you into a tailspin. And meanwhile, your brother seems fine because we're all a little different in the same family. Some typical events that I see in my practice that might then show up as an adjustment disorder, that's what I can speak about, are divorce, and most of them I've just talked about, but divorce, cheating, or just really major problems with a relationship. Okay, that I can see. Death of a loved one is a biggie where there's something there. A major life change, so retirement, being fired, being laid off, moving, right? A major life change. Divorce, obviously, could go in there, things like that. A major life change. The other thing I see is when finding out something physical, like having a chronic illness. I had a client recently who was diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis, and she's very young. And if you don't know, rheumatoid arthritis is incredibly painful, incredibly difficult to treat in a lasting way. And she's 36. So she's looking at the rest of her life with chronic pain and that she's going to be able to do less and less as her life moves on. I mean, it's horrifying diagnosis. Losing a pregnancy in whatever way. Learning your child has diabetes. I had that once with a client. I had another client whose partner had a heart attack, and there was an adjustment disorder afterwards. He became so nervous, so anxious about everything. He became almost paranoid, and you know, because his husband had this heart attack and almost died. Like it was, he had to wear like the vest that like saves you, that you wear this vest because your heart's going to go at any minute. I mean, it was terrible. Anyway, being unable to get pregnant easily. I've had people have it from that. Any unexpected catastrophe. We've had a lot of fires here in California. I can't tell you how many clients I've had who have had a home burn down in the last 10 years. Something like that. Or I've had clients from other countries where there was, war or bombings or who knows what else, right? And some catastrophe, which would really include also a catastrophe like a physical assault, violence of some kind, rape, obviously. And let's take rape. Someone who's raped might have PTSD or they might have an adjustment disorder. It again depends on when the symptoms show, how long those show up, you know, again, in the windows. And that's why you really have to think about the timing of all this with adjustment disorders. If adjustment disorders don't resolve, right, if they don't resolve, they can lead to even more, again, serious mental health conditions. So like major depression. I've seen drug and alcohol problems, you know, drug and alcohol disorder develop. Again, suicidality that I mentioned before. I know. So what else could it be? I mentioned differential diagnosis earlier. Again, this is basically when we mental health professionals are presented with someone's symptoms and we have to decide what it is we're looking at. And the most common way to misdiagnose is to think something is an adjustment disorder when there's actually a mood disorder, again, such as severe depression, when there was a pre-existing drug or alcohol disorder that just got exacerbated, an anxiety disorder, PTSD, obviously, right? Post-traumatic stress disorder. So the symptoms could be similar, but if you don't identify the real cause of those symptoms, and again, look at that time frame, you're going to focus on the wrong things. You're going to use ineffective treatment tools, and the person won't feel better. You won't feel better. Okay, so how do you treat adjustment disorders? How do you treat adjustment disorders? I feel like I'm repeating my titles a lot. That's okay. I'm getting your attention. So effective treatment for adjustment disorders will, it's effective because you return, it's going to result in you returning to a similar or sometimes even higher because of the treatment, a similar level of functioning or higher level of functioning as you had before that big stressor hit your life. The most common treatment includes really either a combination of these two things or really just the first one. So some type of cognitive behavioral therapy, also called CBT. And CBT is generally done, cognitive behavioral therapy is generally done individually or in groups. So it could be a group format, it could be individual talk therapy, and it is some kind of support group of some kind. And it involves, really CBT is helping you recognize your negative or unhelpful thoughts. I like to think of them as unhelpful sometimes, right? And the subsequent feelings you have. Remember, you feel the way you think. So you got to identify those thoughts. Sometimes you identify the feeling first and you can work it back to the thought, or sometimes you can just identify the thought. And then you learn how to change the thoughts, okay? And then you have to change the way you're thinking about something. So, you know, that thing I always say a lot, you know, life isn't happening to me, it's happening for me. You know, you see the world, you're changing your perception of the thing and the event by shifting how you think about it. Instead of an obstacle, something is a challenge, you know? What happens is what you're doing with that is that if you think of even just both those small things, those are pretty small, but those two small things, if you notice when you think of something as a challenge instead of an obstacle, the obstacle, your energy goes down. It feels like it's a huge thing. Do I have the energy for this? As opposed to a challenge, sort of even my voice changed, right? Bringing your energy up, you know, how can I tackle this? You start to think of ways to tackle it. You start to think of problem solving, right? It really shifts how you approach something. It shifts your mood and your thoughts about how effective you can be. So if you want to try this yourself, if you, again, don't have access to therapy, or you just want to try, even if you do and you want to try this yourself, my very favorite tool is free for you, my friend. It's something called the RET tool. RET stands for Rational Emotive Therapy, which is CBT in another clothing, created by a man named Albert Ellis. Brilliant, brilliant. And I did an entire episode on RET, which I will link to in the podcast page and in the blog post page. So you can go back and listen to this. I think it's like the most effective tool you need or something, but you don't even have to go listen if you don't want. You can just download the RET tool and you'll see you got to write, you know, it's a little thing, but basically you have a situation and you write that down, and then you write your beliefs or your thoughts about it, then you write down your feelings, and then you dispute the beliefs. And really that's kind of asking yourself, what else could be true about that? And then as you think new things, you'll have new feelings and you'll take different actions. You'll see. And so you can go over and download that, and that you know, we'll all, I'm sure on YouTube, we'll have that easy for you to download also. It's the RET tool. And I still use this tool. And I have been doing the, I've been using this tool for, I guess, 40 years because I learned it, I think, 40 years ago. It's been that long. This is one of my favorites. I come back to it over and over for a way to change my mood very quickly, to help me feel more empowered quickly, to help me feel some hope, some problem solving, some way through. It's, you know, think about it, rational emotive therapy. It's using your rationality over your emotions. You know, it's helping your brain think better when your emotions have taken control. And so come over and download that. And to be, you know me, I'm always transparent. When you download anything from me, you will be put on my weekly love letter. I don't even call this a mailing list because that's not what it is. It's a weekly love letter, and that is all you will ever get. And the love letter is not, hey, buy this thing. The love letter is some inspirational story or, and they're short, you know, or I don't know, some research I read or something that I'm not including in the podcast for whatever reason that is meant to help motivate you for the week. If you like the podcast, you will love the newsletter is what I believe. But if you don't like it, you can just unsubscribe. It is so easy. I don't make it hard to unsubscribe. I make it very simple to unsubscribe. There's nothing here sleazy that I do. If you don't know me, I don't play that. So you will get put on the list, which I think you should try to stay on because it's wonderful. And if you want to get on the list and you don't want to download the tool, on my website, abbymedcalf.com, there's a little tab at the top that says love letter. And that's all it is love. I will definitely announce if a new book comes out or something or whatever, but how, what do I have a new book once the two books I have are 4 years apart. I mean, it's not like you'd be getting, and I don't do those funnel. I don't do 50 emails. It's just the one, I swear. Okay. So, but the RET tool, I highly recommend if you're going through this. And then the other thing that's also used, I said there were two things. There's CBT and then there's medication to help alleviate current symptoms. And I will say that I don't like medication alone. I really think you should be doing talk therapy also of some kind. But some kind, you know, of anti-anxiety, usually it's anti-anxiety or sometimes an antidepressive medication, again, depending on which type of adjustment disorder you have, is often used along with some kind of talk therapy to help alleviate symptoms so you can think more clearly and use your tools, right? And use your tools. The previous podcast I did was, if you want to just look it up yourself, change how you feel with this easy tool, okay? That's the RET tool. Sorry, I just thought of that. That's how it's called. Change how you feel with this easy tool. So come download the tool. I want to also say, and I will list them, but if you're having suicidal thoughts, you know, again, the risk of suicide can be higher in people who have adjustment disorders. So if you are thinking about suicide and you have a mental health provider, you should contact them right now. You should stop listening immediately and contact them. If they're not available or you don't currently have a provider, you need to contact an emergency number or hotline right away. And I will list the numbers in the U.S. There's a Spanish speaking hotline. There's a live chat. There's US veterans or service members who are in crisis can call, the veterans crisis line. Like I will list all that, in the show notes and on the blog post page, but just please, please, you know, I love you. Don't sit with those feelings. Don't think, oh, they'll just go away. Even if they have before, they might not this time. And I cannot risk losing you. We cannot risk losing you. So please, please make sure that you follow up immediately. Okay. I hate to end on such a big, heavy note, but we're here. We're at the end. So again, don't diagnose yourself, please. Do your best not to, but I'm hoping you learned a lot today. If you've already been diagnosed with an adjustment disorder, you know, or if you can look back in your history and think, oh my gosh, that's what I was going through. My mom died. You know, maybe you can be more prepared, you know, for your dad's death or for when the kids leave the house. If you notice that you maybe have some adjustment problems when bigger things happen, you can preemptively, protectively get ahead of it, right? You know, get ahead of what might be happening in the future because stuff happens. All right. Oh, I love our time together. I love you. Thank you again, Nicole, for writing in. Thank you for all of you who left reviews. Please leave a review of the podcast on Spotify or Apple. You can rate, I think, on Spotify and leave on Apple. Again, on YouTube, the nicest thing you can do is subscribe to the channel and like the video and leave a comment. Let me know what's up. I love you so, so much. Thank you for being here with me. It really gives my life huge purpose and meaning having this relationship with you. I know I'm crying. It's okay. I get it. I can feel our relationship, and it means a lot to me. So thank you. Mwah. Have an amazing week, and I'll talk to you real soon.
Thank you for listening to the Relationships Made Easy podcast with wonderful me, Dr. Abby Metcalf. And I've got two quick things to say. Just give me one more minute. First, I love spending this time with you, and I work hard to make sure every single episode is going to help you move from any feelings of frustration or resentment or anxiety to that connected, hopeful confidence. That's always my goal. So if you have any ideas for a future episode or just want to say hi, let me know what the podcast is doing for you. Anything, you can email me at abby@abbymetcalf.com. How simple is that? And the second thing I want to say is if you like the podcast, you're going to go crazy, crazy for my book. My book is really good. I'm really proud of it. You can find it on Amazon or on my website under the shop section on my website at abbymetcalf.com. It's called Be Happily Married, Even If Your Partner Won't Do a Thing. And even if your partner will do a thing, the book will still really help you. So that's it. Thanks again for listening. Talk to you soon.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.